Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Shira Springer. As 2016 comes to a close, we're looking back at the best art exhibits from 2016. Joining us to help with that is David Nolte, professor of art and history, of art history, that is, at the Massachusetts College of Art and Design. David, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Let's start with a show at the Peabody Essex Museum in Salem, where there are there are two bigger works I want to talk about with you, but now listeners might not necessarily think of an immersive single-room installation with an array of light and shadow when talking about art, but it is quite something. Explain this exhibit. It's called Intersections.
Intersections by Anila Khayyam Agha, who's a Pakistani-American artist, and it was by far and away, it was the most beautiful room I was in all year. That may say something about my own life or something or where I'm spending my time, but the room is a spectacular transformation of a space with the simplest imaginable tools. It's a cage, a metal cage with a light bulb in it, and that sounds pretty basic. And yet you walk in and it's like you're in a Mughal palace or you're in a spectacular period room from Syria at the Metropolitan Museum or something. It was just an amazing, simple, revelatory transformation of a space. Blank wall, and then you're walking, and then you're part of the work. You're in the room. You're part of the shadows that are cast in this space. It was just really a thrilling place to visit.
So completely immersive art.
Absolutely, yeah.
So something else at the Peabody Essex makes your list of favorites.
A lot of things. Oh, sorry. I probably shouldn't interrupt you. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sure a lot of things do because
it's my favorite museum.
I can tell by the list you provided
sorry,
me. It was, right. You seem to have a right. I think you spend a lot of time in Salem.
I love it. Yeah.
That's great. It was an exhibit of Native American culture. It was called Native Fashion Now. You said it was kind of political, kind of humorous.
It's quite confrontational in many ways.
I mean, I was going to say, explain how it can be both.
Well, there are a lot of literature, like text. Text is used in a lot of the garments that the contemporary Native American artists and Latin American artists are using for the works that are in this exhibition. The exhibition's closed, unfortunately, but it was a spectacular three-month exhibition. Fashion is always something that draws the public in, and so it has an automatic audience, and they were really being confronted with cliches about who fashion belongs to or whom fashion belongs to. I'd be very careful because I'm following these literary people, so whom fashion belongs to.
Did you come up with any answers? Who does or whom does?
Well, it does. It belongs to everybody. Anybody who wears clothes, anybody who's interested in beauty. And so this show was confrontational, but it was also humorous. It was sometimes tongue-in-cheek. How so,
tongue-in-cheek?
Well, it makes fun of high fashion, there's no question. And it brings high fashion down to earth using spectacular design and combining that with inexpensive materials often. It was also wildly glamorous, but glamorous without a kind of the suggestion that it was unaffordable. So if you see what I'm saying, it was
high, low, and it was colorful, but that's almost
a cliche too to say. Well, of course, if it's Native American, it's gonna be colorful. It was using, for example, feathers, but in ways that made you think about what you think about people who wear feathers. So I thought it was really confrontational, but also humorous and fun, and also gorgeous. The stuff was beautiful. There was not a thing in that show, and it's mainly women's clothes. And I'm a man, and there wasn't a thing in that show I wouldn't have put on.
Wow, that's saying something. There's the exhibit.
Maybe too much. Sorry.
Well, let's turn now to the exhibit called Stick Work. It's a set of installations around the state. The artist Patrick Doherty takes sticks and twigs and builds these very large and whimsical sculptures with them. And here's Doherty in 2015 on CBS Sunday Morning talking about a piece in North Carolina.
There's a way that you look at this work and care about it and care for it, knowing that it's not going to exist, because you know what's going to happen to sticks. I mean, you see a stick and you kind of know that it's like a leaf. It's going to break down. Something's going to happen. It's going to blow away. But, you know, in the sense, the most powerful part of it is that it's not lasting. And we all recognize that we have a limited lifespan ourselves.
Tell us about these installations.
I love them. His voice makes him, his voice is perfect for what he makes. He sounds like his own work. It's comfortable. And he does these, you use the word whimsical. That's certainly what these structures are. The one at the Peabody Essex, this is their first time they've ever sponsored such a thing, an external installation like this. And they, anyone who's read Dr. Seuss will, kids love these. I thought like I would, because I have friends who have actually participated in creating them. And so they describe the fun of the community, the fun of the communal project. But I didn't think they were for me so much. So I finally saw this one at the Peabody Essex, and I was in it for like an hour and a half. You can go in them. They've got these windows, but they really are like spaces that exist in a child's imagination. And I mean that in the best sense. I am not saying there's anything childish about them. Intellectually, they're very challenging. Again, they remind us of both futurism in terms of artistic design, you know, what's in the future for us, as well as as well as our kind of primal past, building with sticks and stones, and I just love them. They are really fantastic spaces. Yeah.
Let's move from Salem down to Boston and visit the MFA. One show that's on your list are these nearly 600-year-old sculptures from Florence in the Della Robbia exhibit at the Museum of Fine Arts. Here's Maria Camberi, a curator of the MFA, talking about this technique and its importance. She says it starts with the clay, which was gathered from the Arno River in Florence, and then the original sculptor of this technique, Luca Della Robbia, refined an old recipe for glazing that gives it a pure opacity.
That visual impact of the colors is so important. Beautiful blues, beautiful whites, but also greens and yellows and some off-whites that you see in certain of the sculptures.
What's it like to walk into this exhibit? It must be amazing.
It's so wonderful. No, it's just closed, unfortunately, like a week or two ago. But it's
we are doing doing art in review.
That
happens.
And it was great. And if you've been there, then you'll never forget it, because it was, just as the curator just said, it was a revelation again in terms of color. And walking in, it was a smallish show. And I was asked earlier in the kind of preliminary before this interview, I was asked about the William Merritt Chase show. And that's a blockbuster. You know it's a blockbuster. The banners are hanging on Huntington Avenue. It's a big show. And don't miss this. And it was very crowded today when I was there. And it's a good show. It's a wonderful show. If you're interested in the Sargent era and seeing what looks like the work of Sargent's slightly worrying older brother. but then there's this smaller show, not a blockbuster, no banners. It's two rooms, basically, of these 600 and 500-year-old objects by the Della Robbia family. And it is staggering. First of all, it's beautifully hung. It's hung with the same kind of standards for installation that the Peabody Essex is so famous for, where you've got figures leaning out of the wall. In other words, a blank wall and a glazed terracotta figure is leaning out toward you. Portraits lean out from the wall. So it's spectacularly installed. It was small but choice, and the condition of the works is unbelievable. Now, I have seen the work in person. Sometimes I've seen, there are examples in American museums and in Italy as well, of course, in Florence, which is the native town of the Della Robbias. But the condition is staggering. They look like they could, they're still wet. I mean, Luca Della Robbia really perfected something with this technique for glazing. He is the same as Van Eyck in oil painting. He is to the technique of Finnish painting in sculpture. I think that's the name of the show. In fact, it's called Sculpting with Color. And it was a spectacular, spectacular thing, especially when you see the freshness of these 500-year-old works.
I was going to say, it brings to mind the Boston Globe's Sebastian Smee's review of the exhibit. He said that the exhibit was a revelation for me, not because I hadn't encountered glazed terracotta sculptures before, but because I hadn't really seen them. Was it the same experience for you?
Exactly. I think anyone who walked into the room, and I think everyone's seen, for example, they're still reproducing these things. Like, you can still buy them at gift shops around the world, especially in Florence. You can buy little tchotchkes that are Della Robbia style. So I think we're all very familiar with the images. There are several Madonnas and Child, so we're all familiar with the subject matter. But when you see them in person, these three-dimensional, some of them are actually in the round, but mainly three-dimensional wall sculptures in terracotta with the spectacular glazes, I mean, it was exciting. I don't usually go into a show expecting to be excited.
We've got about 45 seconds
here. I better rush.
No, and I just want to talk to you about the Da Vinci exhibit at the Museum of Science. It shows all the sides of Da Vinci. And I wanted to say, why is that important to see him as, you know, an inventor, as a scientist, you know, all the sides of him, particularly for a younger audience? You mentioned how the stick work appealed to kids,
right.
And I'm just wondering.
Well, Leonardo himself said, you don't understand him if you don't understand all the things. In other words, if you don't know, understand science, for example, or math, you don't know him. And Leonardo's interests were not separate. His scientific interests were not separate from his artistic interests. It would have been an unthinkable break for him. He wouldn't have understood that. I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to see it. The only reason I haven't seen it is because it's called Da Vinci the Genius. I hate that title. You don't call me Detroit. You don't call Adele Tottenham. You call Leonardo Leonardo. He's like Adele. He's like Cher. So you have to call it Leonardo the Genius.
That's David Nolte. He's a professor of art history at the Museum College of Art and Design. He joined us to recap the year in art in and around Boston. David, thank you for joining us.
I can't thank you enough. I was super jazzed to be here. Thanks.
I can tell. I can tell. And you've made me excited to go out and see some exhibits in 2017. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Shira Springer, and this is Radio Boston.